Welcome back to Tome of Tales. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign, this episode is a downtime write-up co-written with Toby, who plays Varys Nalo, and Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood, continuing directly after the events of Hold the Line. It is called Begin Again.
Peony, now!
Zariel fades into nothing underneath them, her scream of rage lingering in their ears long after she vanishes. The smoke and soot from the volcano dissipates, the air clears, and Avernus falls away. Peony wrenches them back to the material plane, and they land with heavy thumps on a patch of soft green grass just off Portal Plaza in Daring Heights. There's a moment of stillness, of shocked silence, as the party members lay looking up at the familiar stars welcoming them home, before Bane lets out a delirious laugh. Did we just beat up the Archduchess of Avernus? He looks over at Varys next to him and tries to blink him into focus. The half-elf looks like a sliver of moonlight in the crepuscular gloom.
She's gonna be so pissed.
He lifts a gauntleted fist up to eye level and clumsily wrestles the hot metal off his hand to inspect his fingers. With a grunt, he unceremoniously pops two of them back into their joints and lays the hand heavily on the other man's shoulder. A small sliver of healing warmth seeps from his hand.
You look like shit, mate.
Varys wobbles slightly under Bane's grip, but he steadies himself.
Home.
He croaks, coughing to clear his throat.
Then we need to find Sunday.
The grin slides slowly off of Bane's face.
Yeah, fair enough. Can we pick up Frankie on the way, or... No, you're right, never mind. Lead the way.
Varys gives Peony and Taffeta a wary nod and begins to walk north toward Castleside and the Order compound. He hasn't made it 10 yards when he hears a familiar, musical voice in his head.
Varys, are you and the others back safe and sound? I'm waiting for you at the compound. There's something...
He hears a soft sniffle and a shaky intake of breath.
Please, come soon.
Stomach sinking, he sends Cheryl a brief acknowledgement before turning to look at Bane.
Cheryl is waiting for us at the compound. I will need you to be strong, my friend. Now more than ever.
With wary resignation, Bane nods silently, throat suddenly dry. And together, they make their way home. The yard is quiet when they reach the red stone structure. Even the stables, eerily silent. A dim light spills from the mess, but otherwise the buildings are dark. With a sense of deep foreboding, the two battered warriors cross the last few yards to the open door and step inside. The scene that greets them is not a happy one. Around one of the long, battered tables sits a handful of the Order. Ben and Gritz, Conrad, Kreatar and Krovar perch awkwardly on stools, while Snow lounges against a wall, the rhythmic swishing of her tail the only indication that she is not as calm as her namesake. A familiar, small woman stands staring into the roaring fire, lost in thought, absent-mindedly worrying at her lip. It takes her a moment to sense the shift in the Order soldiers with her in the hall, but when she does, it's as if she awakens from a dream, and she turns The moment her eyes alight on Varys and Bane, she transforms again. She is a string on an oud, wound so tight that to pluck it would make it snap. Cheryl starts to make her way over, and for every step she takes, Bane takes one backwards, almost in sync with hers, until his back hits the wall behind him. He crosses his massive arms and hunches over. His head twitches oddly on his shoulders, as if he wants to shake it, but stops himself.
Just out with it.
He hisses through clenched teeth.
Say it.
Cheryl's lips become a line on her sharp face at Bane's words. She looks from the half-orc to the half-elf, words inexpressible in her eyes.
By all they held dear, your soldiers followed their spirit and held the line for us, Varys.
She has to stop for a moment to breathe. They see her eyes are puffy and a little red, but no tears can be seen in them now.
They were brave, until the last, allowing everyone else.
There's a flash of something, like guilt, but then it's gone.
To get out of Avernus.
Varys lets out a long breath.
Ah, Osi Teshuel, Nehelfi, Enelaith.
He looks at Conrad.
How many?
The weathered scout looks like he's aged 20 years in as many hours.
You're looking at them, son.
Varys gives a slow nod, eyes fixed on the middle distance. Bane sinks wordlessly to the floor, his eyes closed. Cheryl's eyes don't leave the half-elf's face.
Someone feed him.
Varys nods towards Bane.
I'll be back.
He leaves the room, stepping wordlessly out into the silent midsummer evening. Gritz stands up, seemingly grateful to have something to do with his hands. He fetches a plate of cold meats and bread, pressing it into the half-orc's hands and glaring at him until he starts eating. Having told the first part, the tension running through Cheryl eases a bit. Softly moving over to stand beside Bane to be out of the way, she watches him methodically put away the food he's been given. A few moments later, Varys returns clutching a thick green bottle and a pair of glasses.
Get us some mugs, Ben.
The huge bear of a man stands, lamplight glinting off his pate, and rummages around in a cupboard until Gritz comes over and shoos him away, returning with several small clay cups. The room sits in silence as Varys pours a measure of dark, fragrant liquor into each cup and hands one to Cheryl, who steps forward to tentatively take it, and to each of the assembled soldiers. Bane wipes his hands and gets back on his feet, eyes shining with unshed tears. When everyone has a drink, Varys raises his glass.
They made their lives a shield. We will remember them. To the last breath.
To the last breath.
Murmur the Order and the Fey Bard, and together they drink to absent friends.
Black gods, lad. What is this? Chulpis?
Conrad dabs at watering eyes. Bane silently holds his cup out for a refill. Cheryl tries not to cough and carefully sets her glass down on the table in front of her, wiping her eyes.
Gretcher bought it for me. Dalish brandy. A good year, apparently.
Says Varys solemnly, pouring himself another measure and handing Bane the bottle.
Gretcher lied to your face, sir. This is worse than Jed's special at the Shank.
He says, refilling his cup and raising it again.
To dying on your feet.
He says, before drinking.
Tastes like poison.
Mutters Ben, refilling his glass. Gritz looks at him like he's just grown tentacles. What the hells are you pouring more of that stuff for, then? Ben shrugs.
Gotta see if it's poison all the way through.
Conrad snorts, dark spirits spraying from his nose, and follows it with a stream of curses that would sour milk. This, in turn, elicits a soft giggle from Cheryl, and before long the room is filled with laughter. Even Bane, nodding seriously at Ben's sage advice, twitches the beginnings of a smile. He turns to Cheryl, suddenly remembering she was there.
Did you see any of it?
He asks bluntly.
Did you see any of them fall?
She nods.
I was one of the last through the portal. I spoke to Gretcha, briefly before she told me to get my ass out of there.
She gives a half chuckle as she looks up to Bane.
Their charge was swift and fierce, as it would be with her leading it.
This elicits another snort from Conrad.
Woman rode a horse like a bull in a rut. Fierce, I'll grant you. But swift?
He shakes his head, eyes distant with bittersweet remembrances. Cheryl looks to the Order soldiers, the tentative smiles on their faces, and she allows herself to have one too. Before she feels the tears wanting to start again and then stops.
I gave them what little help I could in the end,
she says in a low voice.
I wanted to stay, but...
You did what you had to.
Varys' voice is soft as he cuts her off.
And they did what they had to. I do not believe there is such a thing as a good death. But for people like us, this is as close as we will come.
At least death didn't take all of you.
Cheryl replies, looking at Varys and smiling softly. And then to Bane.
You're here, safe and sound.
She rests a hand on the half-orc's thigh, like she's confirming the big man is there, beside her. He raises another glass in response, his eyes a little distant.
And the sun will rise tomorrow, and we'll begin again.
Cheryl takes a more thorough look at the two, concern making her face soften.
Come, sit, both of you. You've been through hell.
She stops and shakes her head.
We all have, who am I kidding?
She mutters to herself.
Please, let me heal you a little. You look like you're about to collapse.
Bane shakes his head before nodding at Varys.
I'm fine, but he got zapped with something. Zariel took offense to his face.
He does relent at her insistent nudging at his hip, and slides in between Ben and Gritz on the bench.
I beat her up good, lads. And I'm not even lying this time.
He adds in an undertone. Ben rests a shovel-sized hand on his shoulder, and pours him another drink. Cheryl comes over to Varys and raises a questioning eyebrow to the half-elf, but he waves her off.
I would wear these wounds a little longer, see Pernal. To remember in whose company I earned them, and by whose sacrifice I sit here now.
All right.
She nods, lips pursed, but accepting.
One wince, and I am healing you, though, whether you like it or not.
There is a spark of challenge in her eyes that's almost playful, as she gives Varys a look. Then Cheryl sits down beside him, and looks across the table at Bane.
You managed to actually face off against Zariel, then?
He shrugs one large shoulder and sips at his drink.
It was a team effort.
There's unmistakable pride burning in his eyes.
But yeah, some of the best fighting I've ever done.
He pauses for a moment to wash down his grief with more of the questionable drink.
She taught me well. I'm gonna miss that mean bitch.
Varys stirs in his seat, turning to look over at Cheryl.
Do you know Telavalir Ath Ariel Hinuvel?
The halfling woman's brow furrows in thought for a moment. Then she nods, tentatively.
Yes, I know it. They sing it still in my mother's court, sometimes.
Would you sing it for us now? For them?
His voice is soft, and something fragile sits just below the surface. She nods, a heartfelt, knowing look to her eyes.
Of course. She unlimbers her harp, and after a few moments, begins to play. The gentle, aching strains of the elvish ballad filling the room and spilling out into the night. It seems, while she plays, that they are frozen in time. Grief and regret suspended by the beauty of the song. As at last she brings it to a close, there is a long moment of silence. Then Ben scrubs at his eyes with a meaty hand.
It's beautiful. What's it about?
It's an ancient song from the time of the first elven kingdom. It's about a queen who knows her lover must go off to war, and about the lover who knows that she will die, but must go anyway.
There is a small smile on Varys' face, and his cheeks glisten, but he makes no move to dry them.
Thank you,
he says. Cheryl rests a small, gentle hand on Varys' arm for a moment, then lets go. They sit in comfortable silence for a while longer, until, abruptly, the silence is broken by a warm chuckle from Conrad. Gritz eyes him skeptically.
Was funny.
Conrad grins at him, his accent slipping back to his native Neverese drawl. Now he was well and truly in his cups.
I was thinking about that time Red caught Katie trying to sneak back into the compound. A whisker before dawn, with a skin full of cheap liquor. And instead of chewing him out, she had Grits serve jellied eels and small beer for every meal that week, and stood over him while he ate it.
At the mention of the reckless bare-knuckle boxer, Bane's tears finally spill over, but he smiles through them.
Fucking idiot. Told him he was gonna get caught.
The others are grinning now, and before long the room is awash with laughter and tears. They spend the rest of the night like that, filling the darkness with warm remembrances and tales of the dead. Many apocryphal and some, frankly, libelous, but all colored with love and good humor. An hour or so before dawn, with heads full of tales and hard liquor, they drift wordlessly to their beds, Cheryl departing through the red archway, exhausted, heartbroken, but comforted by the closeness of their friends, their family, and each with a flicker of hope nestled safely in their hearts. As Bane had said, tomorrow the sun would rise, and the world would begin again. This downtime write-up was called Begin Again, set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign run by the London RPG community. Co-written with Toby, who plays Varys Nalo, and Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood. Varys Nalo was voiced by Gwydion Evans. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for the next chapter in Cheryl's story.